gon' get it. I'm gon' get it and we gon' get it and you gon' get it and you gon' feel it. I'm gon' get it and we gon' get it and you gon' feel it and you gon' get it. I'm gon' get it and we gon' get it and you gon' get it and you gon' feel it.
Here comes the, here comes the, here comes the.
Y'all don't really want it like.
Here comes the.
NFL fans, welcome to another edition of This Week in the NFL here on the North South Connection Podcast Network. I'm your host, as always, the Cowboy. Joined, we have our three-man booth back. So, Senior has worked through the technical difficulties, and he is here with us this week. How you doing, Senior?
I'm doing well. Glad you guys can hear me tonight.
We can hear you. We can hear you loud and clear. And also, as per usual, my partner who's been doing this with me for a long time, John D'Amato. Go Giants. How you doing, John?
I'm wonderful. I'm glad Senior's back. We got a lot of complaints that the show was lackluster last week, just us two. So we got our star back.
It's true. And we had a guest star last week that we actually got some good feedback on. So he's in bed because it's a school night, but I was able to get him on the horn here so we can cover the Cardinals first. Mr. Ryder, how you doing, Ryder?
Good.
Everything going well other than Cardinals Nation?
Yeah.
All right, good to hear. So we talked last week, guys, about the Cardinals bouncing back against the Carolina Panthers. They were pretty big favorites. They had just lost a game. They arguably should have won against the terrible Detroit Lions. And unfortunately, the Panthers came out and played a heck of a game. The Cardinals didn't look that great, and the Cardinals dropped to 2-2. How do you feel about that game, Ryder?
Not good.
Not good? So do you think it was like the Cardinals' defense was the problem, where they just couldn't stop the Panthers at all, or was it more the offense?
The defense.
Yeah, the defense was pretty bad. They made it made the Panthers look like they had Cam Newton at quarterback back in the 15-1 MVP season. They were just carving them up. But as the positive for the Cardinals this week is that they are playing the laughingstock of the NFL, the New York Jets. So the Jets come in winless, really haven't played too many close games. This last game was fairly close, but it was against a guy who had... They gave up 37 points to a guy who's never played quarterback in the NFL before, who pretty much no one had ever heard of until last week. So Ryder, I want your prediction. 2-2 Cardinals versus the 0-4 Jets. Le'Veon Bell is probably going to come back, but Adam Gase is still the coach. Who do you like?
Cardinals.
All right, we're going Cardinals. So what do you think? Do you think it's the Jets' defense has been like real, real, real bad? So do you think it's just like they're not going to be able to stop Kyler? Hopkins has a big game. Maybe Drake even has his first big game of the season. It's kind of like, hey, we're going against a crappy team. Let's everybody get some confidence back. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah,
who do you like? Hopkins this week or Drake? Who has the bigger week?
Hopkins.
One touchdown, two, or zero?
One.
One touchdown. All right. I like it. And then defensively, they have to play against Sam Darnold, who had a nice touchdown run last week, but then got hurt. Actually, Sam Darnold's not playing. I've been very busy this week. So it's Joe Flacco. Senior's laughing, Ryder. I know you can't hear him. Senior's laughing at Joe Flacco now. So if you thought the worst team in the NFL couldn't get any worse, you were probably wrong, because they are going to be playing Joe Flacco. So, Ryder, the Cardinals' nice offense against the Joe Flacco-led Jets offense. What do you predict the final score is?
31-17.
I think you're giving the Jets too much credit, but we'll take it. 31-17. I'm going to go 35-3. That's my prediction. I don't think Flacco's putting up more than three against any defense, even as bad as the Cardinals looked last week. So, Ryder, thanks so much for joining and giving us the Cardinals analysis. As always, is there anything else you'd like to say, or are you ready to just hit the hay?
I'm fine.
He's fine. All right. All right, so, Ryder, thanks for joining again. You're our weekly caller now with your Cardinals take. So, hopefully, we're talking about a win next week. So, say bye to the audience.
Bye.
All right, and good night, buddy. All right. All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, thanks, guys. So that's our number one fan there. And our other fans, as you see, we're willing to have our fans on here, so just let us know, you know. Tim, you want to come on and do a little Bears analysis? You know, you got to be better than me after I went all in on DeBears last week. It was a debust, unfortunately, kind of a bad game. But so we get the show started here. John, could you talk to us a little bit about the North-South Connection Podcast Network before we really get started?
Sure, I'd love to. This week, right after our great show, our only sports show on the North-South Connection Network, we had... Aaron, JT, and Jenny did a live watch of Monday Night Raw from 2010. That was very, very entertaining as usual. Them three make quite a trio. And they also are on TNA Never Dies, episode number 11, where they reviewed the 8/28/02 TNA. And also JT and Chad just dropped the Wrestling Warzone. Episode number 52, where they reviewed WCW Slamboree 96. And also the Second Print Comics podcast, episode number 9, with Mark Claire and the gang. So a lot of good stuff happened on the North-South connection here.
Great. Thanks, John. And what you can say about us definitively is we are the number one sports show on the North-South Connection podcast network. Am I right?
Well, if you guys keep picking the Cardinals, that number one's going to be a definite number two.
You got to like him this week, John. You got to like him this week.
I didn't get a chance to chime in this week. But, and also your shade on Joe Flacco, a guy who's whipped the Patriots in the playoffs multiple times. So I think he's going to bring some of that magic this week.
He was already not that good, John. And now it's like a super washed version.
Le'Veon Bell's coming back, and the Jets are going to get their first win. As a matter of fact, out of the four winless teams, three of them are going to get their first win this week.
You're out of your mind thinking the Jets are going to win that game.
Yeah, that's really going out on a limb. Have you really been watching the Jets? Oh, my God.
I mean,
if you want to take a shot at us, though, John, you could say you guys got a lot of nerve racking all over Flacco when your team peddled Brian Hoyer up there last week.
Brian Hoyer's twice than that. Brian Hoyer's awful, and Brian Hoyer's twice the quarterback Joe Flacco is at this point.
Wow.
That's the ultimate insult.
I mean, Flacco shouldn't even be in the NFL. It's like they're putting him out there because they want to lose. I mean, honestly, like, it's a blatant thing with the Jets. I think they want to go 0-16.
Come on. No, what was it last year? They had, Fails? When Darnold went hurt, can't be worse than that. It's an upgrade.
No, I think the worst quarterback I've ever seen is Lindley for the Cardinals. Yeah, if you guys remember, he played the playoff game. Any time he came in, like he was a guy that went out there and like I watched and I was like, and I meant it too. Like I could do that. I could absolutely go out there and like. Throw for under 50% and three picks and no touchdowns and not move the offense. Like I could do that. So he's the only one. Flacco's better than him, but Flacco, they're not winning that game, John. We'll see. I mean, Ryder's going to be a real basket case if they lose to the friggin' Jets.
Yeah. Well, losing to the Lions and Carolina consecutively. Yeah. Their defense, doesn't look too promising. And also, Murray's a turnover machine, so we'll see.
At least the Panthers have had, I mean, the Lions loss is inexcusable, I agree. But the Panthers actually have looked pretty good. Like, I mean, they're, you know, offensively, they Teddy's got to move in. They've got some good skill position guys. They're not the Jets. I mean, the Jets just gave up 37 to Brett Rypien.
Oh, you said you never heard of me. He's a nephew of Super Bowl MVP
exactly.
Mark Rypien, so he's got some pedigree.
In a game that he threw three picks in.
Yeah, and a pick six.
He threw three picks, and they still gave up 37.
Yeah, you know, that Greg Williams, they finally figured him out. It took a few quarters, but, you know.
I mean, it really is. It's like Gase is trying to get fired, because if you watch that game, I mean, when they're up before they were down two. They're down either two or one, and it was fourth and like half a yard. And you know, whatever there was, 4 minutes left. With their defense, as shitty as their defense is, it's real obvious. No, it is. It's really obvious to go for that, right? I mean, I was messaging with our with JT, our buddy, the Jets fan, who's actively rooting for them to not do well. But
lose every game.
I told him, I'm like, he's going to kick the field goal here, and then they're just going to march down the field and kick a field goal with no time left to beat him. And he kicks the field goal, as predicted. Awful decision. And they were in field goal range, but instead of giving up the field goal, Melvin Gordon just ran into the whole defense and nobody tackled him, and he just bounced it outside and walked into the end zone untouched. So it was like even a step worse than giving up the field goal. They are awful. I mean, just a horrible excuse for a football team. And it's, I mean, and I think it's by design. We've already spent too much time on them. That's how bad they are. So we're recording here Thursday night. I know nobody likes this, so I'll do it anyway. Going to halftime of the Thursday game. The Bears up 14-13 on a late touchdown pass from Nick Foles to Jimmy Graham. We'll see if they can keep it up, but definitely a good game going on. Speaking of the Bears, little bit of a disappointment last week. You know, the Bears-Colts, if I'm not mistaken. And big Nick didn't really show up. The offense didn't really show up in that game. The Colts defense has been very good all season. And other than that blip against Jacksonville, I think after that win in Chicago, you kind of have to look and say the Colts are for real. What do you think, guys?
It wasn't much of a disappointment. If you listen to the show, obviously, you know, I predicted an easy Colts victory, which is what happened. So it really wasn't much of a disappointment.
Oh, he's got his chest puffed out, huh? Fucking Falcons Jaguars in the Super Bowl last year, and he's bragging.
In our first show, our week one, our NFL preview show, I know I picked the Colts to make the playoffs, and you kind of scoffed at it, Cowboy. So, but yeah, I think they're a good team. You play defense like that. Well, your reason for scoffing at it is you just say Phillip Rivers has nothing left. But you play good defense. You run the ball, and Rivers is a veteran, and he's a competitor and a half. And I think you got enough to be a playoff team now.
This is a fucking infomercial for like you got for your picks or something, guys. What else did you guys get right? But no, they're playing good, and I mean, I think I do think that Rivers is washed. But when your defense is playing as well as they are, and they're good in the trenches, really good offensive line, it you know, Rivers is still good enough to manage a game, and he didn't turn it over a bunch in this game. Like I thought he was going to be the difference with the turnover, and I can admit when I'm wrong. And you know, I've been right plenty too. We don't have to run down the list, but we all know it's there. So
well,
coming,
plus you see what's going on with the rest of their division is falling apart. Even the Titans, they're 3-0 on the field, but off the field, we know what's going on there. So they seem to have pretty much a clear path towards the division.
Yeah, absolutely. So big news in that division. Four games into the Bill O'Brien as GM era, the you know, he's fired. it kind of begs, like, shouldn't you fire him before you let him kind of like gut the team like he did? I know that they came out and said, oh, the Hopkins thing was, we didn't want to, you know, we couldn't do it financially. I think that that's revisionist history bullshit. They took on a bunch of salary with David Johnson. So hopefully they can recover. I mean, Billy O, I don't think is an awful coach. I think he's like, it sounds like he got into it with Watt, of all people, that before the game this week. And, and Watt kind of led a player's revolt against him. I mean, Watt is like, you know, if he's not the most respected guy in the league, he's like top two or top three with all the stuff he does off the field. So not the guy to pick a fight with, Bill, when you're already kind of on thin ice. But all in all, I think no matter who they bring in, it can't really be worse for Watson, right? Watson's has, I don't want to say he's regressed, but he's not having a good year. So I think this will be like, it kind of coincides. If you're going to do it, it's a good time to do it because the schedule turns around for them. Their first four games were brutal. So if you knew you're going to get rid of him anyway, at least you're doing it now, where before he can build up any momentum, because they should do a lot better the rest of the way. And John, they were one of the winless teams that you predicted get their first win this week. So I'm with you on that one. We have the Jags going to Houston. Houston's schedule, like I mentioned, has just been iron so far. Toughest schedule in the league by far. And the Jags haven't been showing as much lately. They had a nice win the first week of the season, three straight losses. The writing's on the wall in this game here that Houston does come out and get their first victory, probably in emphatic fashion. What do you guys think?
Well, getting back to the O'Brien thing, what qualifications did he have to get promoted that quick to GM? So he was out of his depth at the GM position, and to reiterate your point. To gut the team, to not even get like a couple first round draft picks for Hopkins, that was the disaster right there. But not to defend him, but for Watt to get into it and then lead a revolt, also their defense has been getting shredded and they've forced zero turnovers. Watt hasn't exactly been earning his whatever 15, 20 million, one of the highest paid players in the league. He hasn't been actually carrying his team to glorious victory.
So John, you have
he's
been
gotta take a little bit on that.
You have been vocal about Watt's lack of impact this year. So that is a good point. I didn't think of it's,
Yeah, off the field, he's a legend. You know, he's probably going to be mayor of Wisconsin or whatever the hell he is. But on the field, he's definitely diminishing returns. Not worth all that money he's making.
Agreed. Senior, anything to add there on the Texans and on the Billy O thing as a Pats guy, or you think we kind of covered it?
Yeah, it seems to be a common theme that keeps recurring with Bill's assistants when they become head coaches. Haven't been successful, for the most part. The jury's still out in Miami, but for the most part, most of his guys, like Romeo's taken over now, and he wasn't successful as a head coach. Most of the guys that leave Bill and go into the head coaching ranks haven't done well. I guess we can say Mike Vrabel might be doing okay, that the jury's still out on him too, but that seems to happen.
I mean, I don't think you can say the jury's out on Vrabel. Yeah. And I mean, even O'Brien was successful. Record wise, was successful. It seems
kinda.
Like his.
I mean, I don't think history's going to, write this as a success right now.
he took advantage.
I mean, it ends for everybody somewhere, but this was a horrible ending.
Agreed.
He benefited from a rather lackluster division, and that he did seem to master the teams in his division. That was pretty much what carried him for 2-3 years.
Seniors,
so his record isn't totally
got to the playoffs. That was the end.
Seniors feisty tonight though, because I kind of look at that. You know, instead of talking about the Texans, just going right to Belichick's assistants is kind of like a direct shot at John's Giants. You guys are bringing. You both brought your fastball tonight. I'll say that. Senior, I mean, am I right about that? Are you saying that he's already a failure? Like it's not going to work out?
Well, in all fairness to Joe Judge, I mean, I don't think he was ready to be a head coach yet. If you ever see a guy that was kind of, who in the world ever suspected that Joe Judge was going to become a head coach somewhere? I mean, did his name even appear anywhere? And all of a sudden the Giants hired him. I mean, he didn't, a young guy with not that much experience.
Right. Wasn't he the receiver?
Being put into not so great a situation. He's kind of been set up to fail. He's a guy that could fail for like one season and go back to being an assistant. And if he's good at it, kind of like what happened to Josh, where he failed in Denver, but he wasn't ready to be a head coach yet. And maybe later on in his career, he'll resurface as a head coach somewhere and do a good job. I don't know. But right now, I think they hired a guy that wasn't ready for the position. And then again, you're not exactly dealing with a great personnel group either. So no, I wasn't taking a shot at Joe Judge there. And you kind of blindsided me with that comment, but yeah, I would more blame the Giants front office for,
even better.
I don't think that was a good hire.
So the organization as a whole is what you're saying.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
Solo, the organization as a whole, I'll say that.
Yeah, because Gettleman, where's
a better organization than the other New York organization? Not that that's saying a lot.
Of course. Where's Gettleman from? He's from. He's a Boston guy. I think he graduated from Boston University or something. Of course. What do you expect? Not the brightest guys come from there.
You guys. So let's talk a little about the NFC East. The most entertaining team in football that we couldn't be more wrong about most of the time. We had Cleveland go into Dallas, go up, I believe it was 41-14 in the fourth quarter. Just shredding that pathetic excuse for a Cowboys defense. Nick Chubb went down early in the game, and the Browns still rushed for over 300 yards against this just atrocious Cowboys defense. And then Dak, as he's been doing, Dak almost brought him back. Dak threw for over 500 yards, three consecutive games over 450. Before their hopes were dashed again on a running play to the immortal Odell Beckham, his best game as a Brown. Two receiving touchdowns, one rushing touchdown. I didn't see this one coming. I probably should have. But I kind of, I was sitting with Senior watching the game, and I've been watching the game, and I said, I don't care how much the Browns are ahead by, I think they're going to blow it. And it almost ended out happening. But, man, the Cowboys' defense is a mess. Man, they're a mess. And, John, I know you've kind of been on them a little with me. We both liked them big in this game, which, I think it was the right call going in. And do you think this is just kind of an unsalvageable thing for them at this point, or just the division so bad, as long as they can tread water and improve a little bit, they'll make the playoffs?
No, that defense is in rough shape. Mike Nolan, the coordinator, still living off the whatever when he was a coordinator with the Ravens. He doesn't exactly have a Ray Lewis on this defense, and so he's got to get with the times. They're already talking about his seats getting hot. And also, DeMarcus Lawrence got a lot of cheddar. Another guy is zero sacks so far. Not really putting any pressure on their quarterback, and their secondary is horrendous. But any secondary is going to be horrendous if you don't get pressure and you don't get sacks. So they got a lot of problems there. But it's only four games. Maybe as they get the division, you got a couple Giant games. You got a couple Redskins WFT games to look forward to. So the things aren't totally lost in Dallas there. But you had made a good point on the day of the game in the chat, the Cleveland was just dying to get taken. And when they pulled that surprise play, whenever they pull that reverse play, there's always one or two guys that don't get fooled. And Alden Smith had that shot at OBJ. If he makes that tackle, then Dallas probably gets the ball back and gets another miracle win.
I think they win. Absolutely. Yeah. It came down to that. I mean, Cleveland was trying. I mean, they had the possession before that where they only had kept the ball for 30 seconds and Mayfield missed Beckham by 20 yards when he was wide open down the sidelines. Like the one thing the Cowboys couldn't do there was give up that huge run. And that's what they did, unfortunately, for them.
But credit to Cleveland, though. Stefanski, the same kind of offense in Minnesota where he had a lot of success with Cousins. He builds through the run, you know, a lot of run first, and he makes the quarterback more of a game manager. And just like Cousins, if Mayfield has to be reliant to win the game, he'll probably have some trouble there. But for right now, that offensive line was filling holes. And as you said, Chubb went down, and this guy they pulled this guy off the street, D'Ernest Johnson, just trucked 90 yards out of nowhere. The last game I think he played was last November, Carson Circle. I think that's where they got him from.
I think senior when his quads were bad could run for 50 and a touchdown against that Cowboys front seven.
Yeah, well, you know, John made two good points about their defense. John said the secondary's garbage basically, and they have zero pass rush. And then you tack on to that point, John, that they gave up 300 yards rushing. You may as well not even have a defensive player on the field. They basically can't stop anything. They might be worse than the Jets' defense. And I'm sure you guys have all been hearing that all the talk this week that they're questioning the effort on defense, that saying literally guys aren't even making an effort anymore. They got big problems there. But you know what? As bad as that all is, their offense is really good, and at 1-3 with all those problems, they're probably still the favorite to win the division, which is a ridiculous comment about the division.
And this week, the worst offense in the league comes in to Dallas.
Yeah, so
they might get some confidence.
You want to know how bad the Cowboys' defense is? This is truly a statement to it. I'm not meaning to take a shot at the Giants.
That's
John.
Okay. They deserve everything. They deserve all the heat to get.
The over/under for this game, with the Giants in it, is 54. 54. The Giants, I mean, are normally top out at 16, right? I mean, this is a real test, right, to see just how bad the Cowboys' defense is. If Danny Dimes really gets it going and fucking Freeman and Gallman are, you know, running wild and the Giants put up 30 points, I mean, it's time to just pack it in.
Yeah, 30 points without Barkley, really. But it could happen. I mean, would you be shocked?
No,
and if they score 30, it probably won't be enough.
No, the Cowboys will probably score 45 in this game. But I like the Cowboys again.
The records in that division, somebody's got to start looking better because, you know, you get all your divisional games. So the teams in that division have to start getting some wins because they play each other.
You know,
this
like
week being that
the,
case.
The Niners, the real Niners showed up on The real Niners showed up and Philly took them out. Bums.
There you go. That's right. That was a big win for the Eagles, no doubt.
Yeah, I don't even think they played that good. The Niners just Niners just aren't that good of a team. But a much more interesting game is Colts Browns. Battle of 2-3-1 teams in Cleveland. It's going to be a real, especially without Chubb, a real test for this newfound Browns running game. Is the Colts defense has been stout this year. You have to think they're going to come in stacking the box and say, beat us Mayfield. Like, that's what I would do if I was playing the Browns. Stop the run first, make Mayfield beat us. On the other side, the Colts running game's been great too. The great offensive line. Feels like a real tight game to me. And John, I'm interested in kind of your pick for this one.
That's definitely going to be a close game. I'm going to go with the Browns. They got some momentum going. And Odell Beckham is finally emerging as a big playmaker. You know, one game, one big game out of 20 is you know, pretty good. He's going to carry that momentum and make it two. I heard from a lot of Giant fans, I had to eat a lot of crow that, you know, saying that, you know, that we never should have traded him. I was like, yeah, that's great. You know, he had one good game in 2 years. And also he called himself like the Cowboy Killer, you know, all those other times, even that game where he made the catch, the Giants
lost.
Always lost. Yeah, they lost all those games. So, you know, but outside of him, I'm impressed. You know, Myles Garrett, you know, came off that incident last year.
And
here he's just playing. Yeah, he's just playing.
He's a beast. So,
and then, like I said, Stefanski's looking like he's got a good game plan. He's taking control of that team and knocked out a lot of nonsense, and they're playing solid. So I go for them to squeak one out. This will be one of the lowest scoring games of the week, something like 21-17.
Agreed. I mean, it probably is like the game of the week, though, right? Who would have thunk it? But I think it's the most.
Yeah.
It's the best game on the schedule.
Unfortunately, Bills Titans. Who knows if they're even going to play that? But this is one of the ones I'm looking forward to the most. Definitely.
You gotta hope. I mean, the Titans. Like, obviously, the stuff came out that while they were supposed to be isolated, they went and like practiced at a high school or something.
Yeah, they violated. Yeah. Yeah.
But now, like, more people are tested positive, so they can't freaking play, you know?
They're going to get disciplined because they definitely did that. Guys worked out at a couple of different schools, and it was the day after. It was the 29th that they were told that they couldn't work out, and on the 30th they did. The question is, how far is the discipline going to go? You know, are they just going to get a big fine? Are they going to lose draft picks?
Don't you think if they have people pop positive and this game has to get called, don't you think they'll forfeit it? I mean, it's really their fault, right?
What makes that more of a possibility is they've already lost one game. So there's, unless the NFL changes the schedule and backs everything up a week, this would, you know, you can't give them where does the second bye week come in? So, yeah, if a couple of more guys get popped, I would think that it's the last thing in the world the NFL wants is to call it a forfeit. But that's what it's going to come down to. If anybody else tests positive between now and Tuesday and they call this thing, it's going to come down to it's either a forfeit or the NFL says the whole schedule backs up a week. And maybe that might not be a bad idea, because then it would give them a little wiggle room. You know, let's face it, the season's, we're only four games, we're only in week five now. Is this going to happen to another team? Are they going to be the last one that have guys test positive, and then a week later they still have more testing positive, and they have to back them up 2 weeks? You know, this could be a sign of something that could recur. And so if they make that decision, instead of forfeiting them, backing the schedule up a week, maybe as John and I were talking about, where this year you say to heck with the 2 weeks between the title games and the Super Bowl, and you just play the Super Bowl the week after. It might not be a bad idea, because they probably can use the flexibility.
All right. We'll see what happens. Interesting stuff this year. Let's get back to the games, because now I'm just depressed. So, look at that. Eagles at Steelers. We talked about the Eagles getting a must win, but a big win in San Francisco, righting the ship a little bit. Steelers coming off their bye week. bye week that they didn't really want this early in the season. Games in Pittsburgh. Steelers sitting at 3-0. I mean, I don't feel like they're that great of a team, and I feel like they're gonna lose games here and there. I kind of like the Eagles in this one. I like the way the Eagles defense played in that game. I think you could see them force a turnover or two on Roethlisberger. It looked like Wentz played a little better in that game. Maybe burn the Steelers D. What do you guys think? Either one.
I think the Steelers defense destroys Wentz. I mean, as badly as he started the season, okay, maybe he has a little momentum from last week, but this isn't the defense you want to be playing when you're struggling. They're home. They've had 2 weeks. They're chomping at the bit after what happened to them last week. I see this as a big win for the Steelers. The Steelers win the Battle of Pennsylvania, and their defense dominates Wentz and the Eagles.
Yeah, same thing. I don't see the Steelers' run defense has been incredible, averaging only 2.7 yards a carry. So I don't see the Eagles getting any sort of ground game, and Wentz is going to have to flip it 50 times, and some bad things are going to happen with this lack of receivers. You can only hit Zach Ertz so many times. So I'm going with the Steelers too.
All right, I'll be on the island. I don't mind being there. If the Eagles win, remind me to brag about it right at the beginning of the show next week.
Beautiful.
So, you know, one other thing we should talk about, and this is one where I you know, we got to admit when our calls are not good. So I'll tell you, I was feeling really good when Fat Tricia went up 14-0 right at the beginning, right at the beginning of Lions Saints. It's like, you know, rubbing the hands together. I'm like, my big, the Saints are going in the toilet call is coming in. And then they turned it around. Breeze actually played a really good game. The Lions kept it close, but I thought it was a nice bounce back game for the Saints, and especially for him. And I know the Lions' defense isn't spectacular, but that was a tough spot, being, you know, going down in that hole, coming off some of the negativity from the week before. But, you know, credit to him. I think he's dispelled any notions like that we were talking about of him riding the pine anytime soon. I thought he played a good game.
Yeah, he did throw the ball much better, and he threw it downfield. And he's still without Michael Thomas. Well, yeah, I know. I was kind of saying that I thought Breeze was slipping and his arm strength wasn't there anymore. But he looked much better in that game because the Lions defense isn't anything to write home about. So we'll see what he does this Monday night against San Diego, whose defense isn't bad. So that'll be more the test. If he plays another good game against the Chargers, I'll say, okay, we spoke too soon about Breeze. I'm not quite going there yet.
I mean, the Chargers just got completely lit by Brady. I mean, really, yeah, really big. Not saying they have a bad defense, but...
No, that was like one of those games. I don't think their defense is that bad. I think, it was a game. It's just one of those things that can happen sometimes. They generally have a pretty good pass rush. The Bucs offensive line really did do a great job in that game. But it's definitely more of a test than the Lions defense before we say Breeze is back.
Yeah. In New Orleans, I mean, they got they take care of business, I think, against the Chargers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would definitely pick the Saints to win. I'm just saying it's something to watch. We'll see if Breeze can do it 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it'll be a fun game. And it's always going to be a fun game to watch the other quarterback too. Herbert's really been fun to watch. It's kind of now we're looking and you're saying, okay, you look at the two rookie quarterbacks who are playing, him and Burrow. Really, you know, the golden age of quarterbacks coming up. You know, a lot of great quarterback play this year, and here we have two rookies who look like they're gonna really step forward. They're both really good. I don't even know. I would have trouble telling you which guy I like better. They you know, he's looked damn good. I mean, he's actually got a bigger arm than Burrow. Burrow maybe plays a little smarter at this point, but Burrow's a little older. But yeah, and then who knows? You know, maybe in a few weeks, at some point this season, I would think we're going to see Tua, and this may be a quarterback class that we talk about for years.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of really good young quarterbacks in the league. It's good because the old guard's going out, so you need to replenish. And yeah, it's just such a crapshoot for every, you know, for every Josh Allen, you've got a Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold that went before him, right? So who knows? Herbert could be the class of this class when we look back 3-4 years from now. Very, very possible.
And speaking of that, I don't know if you guys saw, it was just announced this afternoon, finally. He named Herbert the
yep.
starting quarterback
yes.
going forward.
Yeah. I mean, he's got no choice.
He kind of had to. He had to. He's played so well. He had to. He can really make some throws.
No choice.
You know, you got to let the kid develop now. Hey. Yeah, definitely.
So, John, taking a look, we haven't talked about the Pats-Chiefs game yet. So, I got to talk to somebody who's a little impartial because I was in like a blind rage, as Senior can attest to by my text messages, the whole game. But watching the game, I mean, it really felt to me like Brian Hoyer just cost him the game, just flat out cost him the game. You know that your defense plays this amazing half, like Belichick's done against Mahomes. Like every time he plays him, they shut him down in the first half to go down 6-3 because this idiot forgets how many fucking timeouts we have. And I'll say we, I'm gonna say we, and I'm gonna enjoy it. And on one, and then just, you know, that's one thing you just can't do, right? And then the other is, you know, fumbling in field goal range. The other thing you just can't do. So, what do you think, John? You think it was just a blip and Cam's going to come back and everything's going to be fine? Because I really hope so. Because I thought they played really well, except for him.
Yeah, you nailed it. You should be upset because they pretty much outplayed every position, outplayed the other position on the Chiefs, except for the most important position on the field, which was quarterback. And for somebody like Hoyer, who is not good as it is, you at least got to be a good game manager and you know, secure that field goal at the end of the half. That was a joke. I mean, to even to make mental errors when you're not physically gifted, you at least got to to take care of the obvious play and get the field goal, get the safe points. But you should be upset because they played a great game and they went through so much drama with the with Cam being out because of the test, and they had to, you know, with the game rescheduled, they had to take like two different flights or whatever the hell it was, a bus and all that, and they still brought it on the field. They went toe to toe with the best team, so you should be optimistic if they could get this game in versus the Broncos and then get to 3-2 and then they get their bye and hopefully get everything settled with the off-the-field health stuff, and you'll be good to go moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I thought it was a good performance. And I don't think the Chiefs played bad or anything. I think it was the Patriots. I think it was just
good game plan.
And just kind of two good teams. One team had a quarterback, and the other one had, you know, a non-quarterback. Stiff.
When you look at what Mahomes and the Chiefs did to the Ravens defense the week before, and then this team has all these problems where, you know, they're hardly on the practice field, and the game was at 7 o'clock at night, and the Pats with their two flights arrived at noon in Kansas City. I mean, whoever heard of such a thing, arriving 7 hours before kickoff, and for the defense to go out and play the way they did. I mean, you got to give credit to the personnel. You got to give credit to the game plan by playing with the six or seven defensive backs that they did most plays that really confused Mahomes. Bill, the genius, you have to give credit. But I was so proud of the way the defense played, and it was frustrating. Because it didn't matter what they did, Hoyer was just going to give it away. So it just goes to show what the heck would the Patriots season have been if they didn't sign Cam at the last minute like they did, if somebody else would have scooped him up earlier. I mean, once again, we should feel fortunate.
I gotta ask you without guys. Without him. I gotta ask you guys, wasn't Stidham planned to be the quarterback?
That's what they had
before
said.
They got Cam?
But, I mean, he's got to not be very – they must be seeing something in practice, right? I mean, that he couldn't – that they wouldn't play him over Hoyer. But yeah, we thought it was going to be Stidham. We thought it was going to be Stidham.
That they really got hurt.
And it's a hard thing to judge a guy by, but when he came into this game, he didn't play much better than Hoyer. He was terrible too.
They really got hurt by Noah Trubisky.
Thank God. I mean, we're really fortunate that Cam fell into the Patriots' lap. Otherwise, I think it would have been a lost season. I mean, you're just not going to win many games without a quarterback. It's just not going to happen in the NFL. I know it's only one guy, one position, but the most important position in professional team sports, right? And
they're going to have to do it this week.
And when you're that bad at it. Not necessarily. That's no sure thing yet, especially with the game being backed up now to Monday. It's still possible. He just has to – he's still asymptomatic. If he gets 2 days in a row of negative tests, he can play.
Oh, senior. We'll see.
I don't think they're going to risk it.
It's possible. I think
they could win versus the Broncos with Hoyer or Stidham and then just play it safe.
They could. And they could lose to the Broncos with Hoyer or Stidham. They could. I mean, all you got to do is line up and stop the run. They could. If you make those guys throw the ball, you know? But I think if he gets the two negative tests and gets to, like, practice one day, I think he'll play.
I don't think he's going to play. Well, I mean, we'll see what happens. And Gilmore's definitely not going to play, right? I mean, he can't.
No, Gilmore can't play. But, I mean, I don't think that's as big a deal as playing the Broncos. I'm not saying Gilmore's not a great player. I'm just saying, you know, I don't see the Broncos throwing the ball all over the Pats even without Gilmore. But without Cam, the offense just stinks. Let's be completely honest. I mean,
this is a Broncos team that gave up some points to the Jets last week. So I think the Patriots can score on them a little bit. I think they'll beat the Broncos with whoever at quarterback. I bet the Broncos are just not a very good team. And I mean, to be fair, they hung with the Chiefs without a quarterback. So they should be able to beat the Broncos without a quarterback. Senior, you're like state radio for the Patriots, though.
I would be concerned because you have to score points to win. You know, you have to be able to put some points up.
Yeah, I mean, Damian Harris ran for 100 yards against a defense that's quite a bit better than what they're going to be facing. So, I think even Hoyer or Stidham will be able to generate 24 points against the Broncos.
Wow, that's pretty optimistic, but I hope you're right.
Thank you.
I like your optimism.
Thank you. But, yeah, I mean, it was bad, but, I mean, like I said, they gave up that to the Jets. I think the Patriots with Hoyer or Stidham have as good of an offense as the Jets. So, we shall see. So it's funny. I went to John for like the balanced New England take. And did you see how Senior kind of cut in? Just jumped in. It was good. Like honestly, I love you, Dad. And I can be the same way. And this isn't a political statement, but when Senior talks about the Patriots, the only thing that goes through my mind is Sean Hannity when he talks about Trump. It's like the same thing. Just the same fair and balanced approach. It's like, oh, is it really just an amazing game plan? And Bill's just a genius. I love it.
I saw some rare rage from Roger on Sunday. It's like you guys have been spoiled for the greatest quarterback of all time for 20 straight years, and now you got a 1 week of a shitty quarterback playing. You guys can't handle it. You know?
I was pissed.
Well, maybe if our defense didn't play so outstanding, but I mean, going into the game, John, I honestly felt it was going to be a massacre.
Yeah.
You know, I thought, it's, you know, what am I even tuning in for? And then you're watching and you're like, we got a chance. The Pats have
a chance. When it's 6-3, you're going to go. When it's 6-3, and you get right to the halftime, 6-6. Yeah.
I mean, we could have got touchdowns. I mean, so many mistakes. Oh, okay. Yeah, so, yeah, it was maybe we were spoiled, but it was frustrating to watch.
And the Chiefs this week, and they have a pretty soft touch. The Las Vegas Raiders coming in. Raiders, who's didn't have a great defensive performance this week, if memory serves. They gave up 30 at home to the resurgent 4-0 Buffalo Bills, who may or may not play this week. But I see no reason to think that the Chiefs don't hang 35-40 on the Raiders' defense in this game and win the game going away. Anyone disagree with that?
No disagreement at all. I'm looking at the Chiefs' schedule, and they're supposed to play next Thursday at Buffalo, which and that game might be in jeopardy because of the.
No, they said they if they actually play the Titans game, then that Thursday game is going to get backed up. They said if the Titans Bills game gets canceled, they're going to play that game on Thursday. So that game's
right,
on.
It's not.
There'll be no Thursday night football.
Unless Gilmore.
If it's a Tuesday game, there'll be no Thursday night football.
The thing that could happen, though, is you've seen the pictures of Gilmore right up in Pat Mahomes' face talking to him after the game. So if there was any transmission there, then all bets are off.
But guys, after that Buffalo game, the Chiefs schedule at Denver and then home for the Jets and Carolina. And then a bye, so they pretty much got four consecutive bye weeks.
I mean, they could just Denver and the Jets. They could just rest Mahomes if they wanted
to. Yeah, they're going to be well rested. They're going to be well rested for the home stretch. So I don't see there's any way they don't go at least 14-2.
Yeah, because this was one of the games that we had kind of had circled that they might lose, and. I think we were on it. When we did the show, we didn't know that that Cam wasn't going to play. But so, John, I'm going to call that a win for us, even though we picked the Pats, both of us.
That goes out the window as soon as the Cam stuff went down.
The Pats win that game with Cam. They win that game with Cam. I believe that in my heart of hearts, and that's why you saw that anger come out of me. I'm usually pretty mild-mannered with some of this stuff. It's just to see that fucking idiot get sacked. it's like a 10-year-old. It's not like it was like a blitz and he just got overwhelmed. He stood there with the ball like a moron for 10 seconds and didn't throw it away.
If you're not physically gifted, at least be
stands up given the timeout signal.
Yeah, Chris Webber.
Oh, man.
At least be a game manager if you're not gonna physically gifted, but all right, we'll give you a win on that, Roger.
I'll take it. Because you need my only one.
Cowboy, you need one. Yeah,
I do. I had a bad week. I'm looking here, guys. Anything else? Anyone? We could talk about the Falcons and their patheticness, being 0-4. We have the Panthers going there. The Falcons. A lot of people kind of thought they were a live dog against Green Bay. I don't think I really saw it, but they got trounced. They look like they're done. I think their coach is on the hot seat.
Yeah, when you see stuff like Ridley doesn't even get a catch, that's a red flag.
Ooh, you're really poking the bear there with Senior with that one for a.
It's not a total excuse, but I don't think he was 100%. He was questionable all the way up to right before the game, and then Julio obviously was hurt. And so, I mean, I know that it was a really bad performance by their offense. Which even in these games that they've lost before this, their offense has played pretty well. Their defense is just terrible, and they always have that passing game. But Julio down and Ridley not 100% is a bad combination for them. I think Ridley's a really good player, and he'll be back.
I think they get the first.
I'm not telling you they're a good team. They're terrible.
They're going to get their first W this week. If not, they're in the Trevor Lawrence bowl.
Oh, I'm again. I disagree with that. I think the Panthers are going to light them up. The Panthers' offense is playing good.
Okay.
That Falcons defense is right there with the Cowboys. Civ. Might as well not even be on the field. The Panthers, I mean, I'm serious. Like, the Panthers' offense has been good. It's been good in almost every game. You know, Robbie Anderson looks like he was a real find for them. I mean, he's got, I think he's third or fourth in the league in receiving, right? I mean, they're.
Yeah.
Teddy's playing well.
I mean, the Falcons' off defense is worse than the Cardinals' defense. That's 100%. I mean, I think the Panthers might. I honestly think they win the game by double digits. I think the Falcons are toast. Like, Julio's not going to play. I mean, I just think they looked like a team that was kind of ready to roll over to me in that Packers game, just packing it in, waiting for Quinn to get fired.
If Julio doesn't play, they're still not saying they're sure he's not going to play. But if he doesn't play that game, I think they're in trouble. I agree.
Take it to the bank. He's not playing. Trust me. I got my ear to the ground.
If you're right about that, I hate to tell you, John, but I'll leave you on the island picking the Falcons, which seems crazy, but
wow.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Panthers.
All right. Atlanta's got a chance to save their season. In the next few weeks, they got Carolina twice. You see Minnesota, Detroit, Denver. There's some cake on there. They could still right the ship, but I'm with you guys. Yeah, that defense is horrendous, but I think they at least get this one at home.
I think they're lucky there's no fans, given the way what they've done this season. I think it's better for them to have no fans there.
Oh, yes, definitely. Jets and Giants, we're right there. We're right there with them. Their fans got the stage from scratch. Their season ticket got the stage from scratch this year.
Things would be pretty ugly at that stadium if there were people there for both of those teams. You're right.
Yeah.
Last but not least. This is my low-key, I guess it may not even be low-key, but I think this will be the most entertaining game of the week, and it's good because it's in the Sunday night slot. You have two kind of under-the-radar bad pass defenses against a couple of pretty good pass offenses. Vikings at Seahawks. I believe it was like the one good call I had last week was the Vikings game, the Vikings beating the Texans, so I'll take it. Very good. And, the broken clock is right twice a day, as they say. Against the 4-0 Seahawks, have the Vikings going into Seattle without the 12th man, which makes a big difference to me. Vikings coming off a nice performance. The Seahawks have been fantastic this year. Obviously, Wilson's been incredible. Miami gave him a good game. John, you called that. And I thought it was close. It was close. It was. I thought one of our upset specials was going to come in, but in that vein, Jamal Adams not playing again, and even with him, that pass defense not very good. Dalvin Cook running wild so far this year. The Vikings are better than their 1-3 record, I would say. The Seahawks, probably not as good as their 4-0 record. Your upset special is the Vikings are going to go into Seattle, and they're going to win the game in just a shootout. Just an absolute 35-32, last team to have the ball wins kind of shootout. Tell me I'm wrong.
Well, that whole scenario, I mean, it could happen, in all honesty, because the Seahawks defense hasn't been that good, and we had good Kirk last week, as you told me that absolutely terrible Kirk. When I was saying him and Wentz were both the disasters of the league a few weeks ago, you said that happens to Kirk, and he bounces back and becomes a decent quarterback again. But I see Seattle scoring. Like point, I know Minnesota would try to control the ball with Cook running, but I think Seattle's much more vulnerable to the pass, so I think Kirk's going to have to throw it. All that being said, seeing your scenario shoot out at the OK Corral, I got to take Russell Wilson over Kirk Cousins in a shootout.
You know, I mean, how the NFL
the
is.
Scenario for Minnesota, that's a tough scenario to win. Is which guy do I think will come through with the more clutch throws in a duel? You gotta go with Russell.
So, Vikings by 3.
I'll say high scoring game like you said, but Russell outduels Kirk Cousins.
You're the tiebreaker, John. You're gonna leave me on the island with Cousins?
Nah, you can stay there. I'm rolling with Seattle. And I'm surprised the line, you know, we don't do point spread too much, but I see only 7.5. It should be higher than that. But Minnesota has Cousins getting some chemistry with Jefferson. That kid looks incredible. And Thielen is always.
They're always loaded at the skill positions.
Yeah,
and,
but their defense is really down this year. Their defense is down. So yeah, I'm not going against Russell this week. I went against them last year. Almost came through. Their defense. They held Fitz at the end zone at some key points. Otherwise, they would have got that upset.
I mean, the Vikings defense did play better against Billy O and the boys. They did.
Oh yeah, in the quick game. Yeah. I'm me and Senior. We got Seattle, man.
All right. Well, you can expect a text message on Sunday night around 10:30. When Kirk leads him on that game-winning drive. Hey, I've hit a couple, man.
Yeah,
I'm not here for my, I'm here for my analysis. The predictions are just,
I know.
They are what they are.
My head would have been, if the Dolphins pulled that one out, forget about it. I would have been coming with you to Rhode Island and saying to take me to Twin River. And you know how that ends up. That ends up at about 11:30 with me with a blonde wig turning tricks in a parking lot.
Man,
you're hot one week, and the next week it comes down, and it comes back at you. You know how it is.
I do know how it is. It's one of the few things I'm able to control, so I enjoy it. I do that, you know. So, guys, I think we covered everything. John, Senior.
Yeah.
Senior, you got anything you want to plug?
No, I'm good. I think we covered it all.
Senior's going to Disney World. You can talk about that.
What's that?
They said Senior's going to Disney World.
There you go. That's right.
All right.
That's right. Leaving tomorrow. And the Cowboys babysitting the two dogs for us.
I am. I'm dog sitting.
Spend the weekend with Uncle Cowboy.
I'm dog sitting. I'm dog sitting, and I'm going to be watching football. I'm going to be watching football in Senior's comfy chair.
Doesn't get any better than that.
No.
Maybe next week we get the dogs to give a better predictions than Roger.
Yep. Everybody's a joker. Everybody's a joker. But, John, do you have anything to plug? Anything you've been on that you want to talk about?
On the other feed, the Place to Be Wrestling feed, we did some WrestleMania 7 review with Scott and JT and an evolution of Roddy Piper with Andy, the boss over there at Place to Be, one of the bosses over there. So check those out. And otherwise, we'll be here with you guys every week. No bye weeks. We get in no matter what.
No bye weeks. And again, recording Thursday. De Bears down 2, driving, trying to take the lead. Beginning of the fourth quarter, we're pulling for him, Tim. We're absolutely pulling for him. So
who's we? Here comes a choke.
I hope I didn't jinx him, Tim. I'll stop picking him if I did.
The Bears.
The Bears. All right, guys. So thanks to all our listeners. Please reach out to us. Hope everybody enjoyed the show. For Cowboy Senior and for Mr. D'Amato and for my main man, Ryder, who joined us at the beginning of the podcast, I'm the Cowboy, and I'm out of here. Football, baby.
Good night.